Sometimes the kingdom of heaven parables are like the things that came out of your parents' mouth in warning. If you keep making that frowny face, your face will stick like that. If you sit too close to the TV, you'll go blind. If you don't brush your teeth, they'll turn black and fall out. Our parable of the 10 bridesmaids is that kind of cautionary tale that should resonate with any parent who has doled out a stern acclamation to their children. Only this one is about being ready for the eschaton, the final event in the divine plan, Jesus' return, heaven on earth, or as R.E.M. sang in the 80s, the end of the world as we know it. But it's not about fire and brimstone. It's not that kind of event. It's a party. The parable asks us to imagine ourselves as those waiting for the groom's return, because when he gets there, the party's going to get started. And this party is not just a raucous good time, but it's the end of an era of destruction and the beginning of an era of restoration, where human constructs are going to go away and how we've missed the mark, loving God and our neighbor, will fade away. And all of this will be replaced by righteousness and praise. This is the wedding the bridesmaids are waiting for. The wedding feast initiates God's reign and his mercy and his justice and the realization of all of the hopes of Israel, the kingdom of heaven. So, if this is the moment that the bridesmaids are waiting for, why do the ones that forget extra lamp oil get left out in the dark? Why do the ones who have been waiting but were forgetful get punished forever? I mean, all of them fell asleep, right? Even the ones who planned with extra oil. So I've preached on this very parable before, and it bothered me then, and it still bothers me now, that the tale involves a closed door. But as I mentioned a few minutes ago, the kingdom of heaven parables are often likened to the stuff your parents said to you as you fought with your brother in the back seat of the station wagon as your dad rocketed down the road on a family vacation. Don't make me come back there. You guys have said that, right? So today I would like to retell this parable as a modern tale set in the deep south, where I come from. To do so, I must summon my best southern accent. This is so gonna embarrass my husband. Okay, but I'm your rector now, so you can't get rid of me. All right? All right. So, 10 bridesmaids is a big old wedding where I come from. I imagine 10 gals in varying shapes and sizes, all with hot rolled hair and pink taffeta princess waist gowns with dyed to match pumps. And they're all getting ready for a big party. They have been assigned a special job by the wedding coordinator to carry the multicolored party lights to the reception after the wedding. Now, 5 of the gals are smart cookies and they get extra batteries at the Target. The other 5 have never been camping, or they've never been in Sandy Watkins' Girl Scout troop, and they have no idea that party lights have a finite number of minutes they can be left on in the on position. As they are waiting for the wedding party to finish all the fancy photography and get to the reception, they start getting sleepy. And they sit on those big, comfy chairs right outside the reception hall, and they all doze off. They are awakened with a start when one of their cell phones starts ringing. It's the wedding coordinator, Lurleen, and she's yelling to get the multicolored party lights ready because they are on the way from the church. The girls check their party lights meant to greet the wedding party, but dang it, they all left them on while they were napping and the batteries have run down. Now, 5 gals go for their extra batteries while the other 5 start panicking. Now, the first 5 girls, they just don't panic at all. The first 5 don't have extra batteries to give to the other 5 girls. And they say, You guys are just going to have to hoof it to the 7-Eleven. So five girls in taffeta dresses and dyed to match pumps run across the street to buy a bunch of D batteries. Now, Leonard Crump is working behind the counter, and he's a sweet young man, bless his heart, but I swear he moves as slow as molasses in January, and it takes the girls a good 30 minutes to complete the transaction, reload the party lamps, and run in 3-inch heels across Peach Street on a Saturday night. Now, by the time they reach the reception hall, the wedding party has arrived, and the band is playing, and for goodness sake, somebody lock the door. Now, my friends, if we believe that this is the end of the story, that would be like believing that our parents really would let our teeth fall out if we didn't brush them once, right? So, or that they would let our faces freeze in that position, the frowny face, you know. I mean, it doesn't really happen. No, they were telling us all that stuff to shake us up and to make us look at our behavior and take measures to pull the nose up, so to speak. So with that in mind, let's go back and look at what the story ending could be. Now, the five girls, they beat on the front door of the reception hall, but nobody can hear them because the band is blasting out a fine version of the quintessential wedding reception disco anthem, "Play That Funky Music, White Boy." Now, this was the song that would employ all the party lights and it would involve all the party, the wedding party sing-along. But half the bridesmaids are locked out. Then the tallest of the five bridesmaids, Brenda, has an epiphany, the kitchen door. They scramble to the back entrance and they push back past the extra kegs of beer and bust through the door. They can hear the refrain coming. The band is singing, and they was dancing and singing. The girls rounded the corner and they took out one of the hors d'oeuvre servers, causing many crab cakes to go flying. And they were running for the main door, and you could hear, "And moving to the grooving, and just when it hit me." They burst through the stage door just in time to dive in there with the rest of the party with their multicolored party lights shining. And all 10 bridesmaids flank the wedding party shouting, "Play that funky music, white boy." Uncle Billy just happened to snap the photo that captured the entire wedding party dancing and singing and moving to the grooving. Because you see, the front door may have been closed, but there was always another way in to the dance, to the reunion. There's always a way in through God. So it is with our Lord. I don't believe that He would ever shut us out of the kingdom for not being wise enough, because that's not how our loving God works. Yet He does tell us to try to be prepared, and try we must. To act as the wise bridesmaids did is to affirm our faith in the coming of Christ and a new era. We know that God's plan for the new era is realized, justice and mercy. To be a wise bridesmaid is to keep the vision of Christ's return and all that it stands for alive through faithful waiting in the midst of delay. A wise bridesmaid lives with hope, hope that we will see the face of Christ, hope that peace and justice will be what every child of God receives. We strive to be wise, and sometimes we miss the mark, but our hope is in a future with God and in a God that has a welcoming attitude to us in His kingdom. And if our batteries run down or our lamps get dim, we can rely on that eternal hope in Christ to shine a light on our path home. Sometimes the kingdom of heaven parables are just what we need to keep our light shining.